Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled up to my Chevrolet. I climbed out up inside.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and for the next 56 minutes, we're going to be talking about cars, car repair, car bills, did they fix it right, here's my symptoms, and all of anything you can imagine. And the best part about it is, if I don't know, I'll tell you, I don't know. But I'm only as good as the symptoms you give me. And symptoms don't include giving me a list that's 10 minutes long about all the parts you've replaced. Just symptoms. That's you know, vibration. Now, I'm going to ask you on the vibration. Is the steering wheel jump north and south or east and west, or does it go left and right? That helps us. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. Bob and Steve at Quality Transmission are real, real professionals. They have integrity. They're ethical. And they're capable of telling you how much it'll cost you to rebuild the transmission if you have to have it rebuilt before they take it apart. Because they're smarter than the average bear. Because they're experienced. You see, you take your car into a transmission, they say, I don't know what's the matter with it, but I'm going to have to take it apart. And at the end of the day, you're going to owe me $300 or $400. And then I'll give you an estimate. Folks, you have to understand that you're not leaving there, no matter what the estimate is. Because nobody's going to take your transmission in a shopping cart. They know that. But experienced people say, on the worst case scenario, you're going to be $28, $28.50. On the best case scenario, you're going to be down about $24. Okay? And then that's it. So that's why Quality Transmission on Hayden Road, McClintock, just south of the freeway there, north of University, that's where you should go if you need transmission work. Not too long ago, a gentleman wrote me a note and said that his wife's Jeep had two problems. One of the problems was is she'd drive down the road, and then the tack would quit, and then the car would die, and she'd pull off to the side of the road, and it would start immediately. He used that word, immediately. And then everything was fine until maybe the next day. My response to him, and folks, I probably answer 50 to 100 car-related questions every day, so you're always welcome to send yours to me, because I'm happy to give you an answer. And no one's ghostwriting for me. If it comes for me, it's if it comes back to you, it's coming from me. So I thought to myself, the tack is a really good symptom here, and that Jeep, the ignition system, is run off a crankshaft sensor. So I wonder if the crankshaft sensor's failing. So I write him back and I say, because you're losing the tack and then the motor dies, I think the tack is telling you that the points, everybody knows that the points created spark. The points, as they opened and closed in the old distributors, that's what opened and closed the gate to fire the coil and send a spark to that cylinder. So I said, I think you have a crankshaft sensor bad because the tack reports directly to, or the crankshaft sensor reports directly to the tack. So I think that's where you should look in your area. And I think it's also important not to go on a fuel hunt, because you said it started immediately, and if it ran out of fuel, it would crank a little longer as you reprimed the system. So the fact that it starts immediately, as soon as she hits the key, that tells me the fuel system's probably not involved. And he wrote me back a really nice letter, and he said, you hit the nail on the head. I took it over to Village Electric in Mesa, which is one of the shops that we recommend, and he found a bad wire, broken wire, a scraped wire, a wire that was down to one strand on the crank sensor. So they replaced it, and the car has been fine for a long time. So,
caller Tim.
I wanted to tell you right off the bat that I do get them right every once in a while. Oh, God. And my staff teases the heck out of me. But really, no one knows how good I am, because I'm only as good as your symptoms. So that's why symptoms are so important. The two things he used is he said, I lost the tack, and it started immediately. And folks, I got to tell you that he probably saved himself as little as $25 and as much as $100 worth of diagnostic money, because he kind of focused them in. They didn't need to go drive it for a long time to figure it out. That's a good deal. That's what we like to see. Vibrations are a really big problem. Okay, if you have a car question, now's the time to call. The lines are wide open. I'm going to get to Tim right now, but the phone number is 602 508 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Good morning, Tim. How are you, buddy? What can I do for you?
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Listen, I've got an 01 Oldsmobile Silhouette minivan, and it's a very nice car. I don't know how to work most of the things on it, but it's got something on the dash, comes on there, and it says track off, T-R-A-C.
Okay.
Something to do with some traction or something.
Yeah.
Now, does it make any difference if that thing works or not?
Okay. What color's the light? Is it yellow, orange?
Yeah, yellow.
Okay, good. Let me remind you, everybody, that the color of the light tells you what you need to know, because yellow means caution.
Uh-huh.
So that means if you are on your way home from New York City and you're coming to Arizona,
yeah,
and in St. Louis, that light comes on. If it's yellow, you can keep on driving. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, what it's telling you, Tim, is that your car has traction control. Your Silhouette probably has four-wheel drive or all-wheel.
No, it's only got two-wheel.
Only got two?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The traction control is the device, is the computer that, if it sees a tire slipping, it actually applies brakes to that side, and that causes the other side on the differential to start spinning.
Uh-huh.
So what's happened is on almost all traction control complaints, there's four wheel sensors on the car, and those wheel sensors tell the computer how fast the tire is turning. So what happens if one of the tires says zero and the rest of them are doing 38? Then the computer's confused. It says, wait a minute, how can I have one not spinning and the rest of them are doing 38 miles an hour? So it'll turn on either your ABS light or it'll turn on your traction control light to tell you, I got a problem. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm not going to handle your traction control for you. The yellow light says you should be cautious, but keep on driving. You're okay. That's what it means.
Well, it's got a button on there to put track on or track off. And is it okay to just leave it off?
Absolutely.
So I can drive that car without that thing working full-time.
Well, wait a minute. Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When the button is off, the light is off on the dash?
Yes.
And then you push the button on and the track light comes on?
I think so. I forget. It's confusing. They've got so many buttons on it.
No. Think about this.
Yeah.
Everything may be okay.
Uh-huh.
Here's why. They may have created a traction control in the drive axle of your Silhouette van.
Uh-huh.
And what they may have done is if you get into low traction conditions and you're in rain or snow or you're in ice, you push the traction button, which locks the two drive wheels together, and they turn on the yellow light on your dash to tell you that you've put me in traction.
Uh-huh.
So when you push the button and the light goes out, at this point, do you have an owner's manual?
I got one, but I have only about halfway through it.
Okay, just go to the index and go to traction control, TR.
Okay.
And then, but I think what's happening here is you only push that button when you're in low traction conditions. So
uh-huh.
if you're not in ice or snow or sand or mud,
never.
Don't push it.
Okay.
Now, you got to check with the wife because she may have a boyfriend that lives down a dirt road or something.
But not yet.
Okay. All right, good enough. Thank you very much, Tim.
Well, thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Uh-huh.
602-508-0960.
Next up, Fred.
Fred, you're up next, buddy. What can we do for you?
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
I'm a frequent caller. We corresponded about a week ago, and I just want to thank you for another thoroughly successful referral.
Okay.
You mentioned Village Auto Electric. You referred me there to Blackwell's, and you just referred me to Scott and Phil down at Automatic Transmission Exchange.
Yeah.
And everything that you said about them in the email was true. They knew what to do. They did it all. The price was right. And I just want to thank you for being who you are and doing what you're doing, because it worked again.
Let me tell you kind of behind the scenes, okay? The 50 or 60 shops on our list, it's a very proprietary list. It's a very exclusive list. Maybe one out of 100 that apply get on the list. Our filter... I mean, we check your credit rating. We do everything. So we only had, I think we had two or three transmission shops on the west side, and we had one on the east side, and Central Phoenix from probably, 40th Street to 40th Avenue, north to south, was completely uncovered. And I really wanted a transmission shop in the middle of the city. But one of the things I do is I give those guys a circle around them, so I'm not going to put two shops on top of one another. Unfortunately, that does happen every once in a while. It occurs, but I don't do that. So when somebody applied or somebody nominated Automatic Transmission Exchange, well, Phil's been around since transmissions were first born. I mean, he everybody knows. So I called Mike, this friend of mine that knows transmissions inside and out. I said, "Do you know about it?" "Yeah, I used to work for him." "What kind of a guy is he?" "He's a good guy." "Does he belong on the list?" "Yep." "I'm surprised he's not on the list." "Well, he's Central Phoenix." So I said, "You know what? I'm not going to go do the interview. I'm sending my wife and my daughter. If he can get past those two, then he's a good..." So Andy and Renee went down and talked to him, walked through the shop. He gave him a tour, and they came home, and they go, I said, "Well, how'd it go?" "It went fine, Dad." "Is he in or out?" "Oh, Dad, he's in." That was it. That was the end of the conversation. And so I was really proud to get him. And then we had a guy from Central Phoenix call us, and I thought, well, this is a good one. I'm going to test Phil. The guy calls me back. "Oh, great job, great job. He was under his estimate, blah." That's the kind of shop we want. So you have reinforced that the effort we go to identify these very exclusive shops is an effort that pays dividends. So thank you. Thank you very, very much.
2 minutes.
Well, you're very welcome. Thanks again for the referral. And by the way, I got the free tour also, and I was impressed. 20 lifts, 14 benches, incredible place.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine, a cowboy buddy of mine, that broke down in California. And so I called Phil, and I lean on all my transmission shops. You know, I've got Sun Transmission on the west side, I got Adolph's Transmission on the west side, and then I've got a Quality Transmission on the east side. I lean on all of them.
And so Anthony, then John.
And then I called them, and I'm talking to them, and then I call Phil, and come to find out he knows this Dodge Transmission like nobody else. And so we got the guy here, we got the transmission rebuilt, and then he calls me back and he goes, "He gave me fuel economy. He gave me 2 miles a gallon more." And I said, "Well, that's because we put that high-performance converter in there." "That was that extra $200 I told you to spend?" He says, "I couldn't be happier." He says, "But can I haul a big hay trailer with this?" And I says, "Not to exceed the GVW. He goes, "Well, what does that mean?" I says, "Oh, you cowboys,
one
you're
minute.
The same. You're all the same. Weight doesn't mean nothing to you guys." Anyway, thank you very much, Fred. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mark. Okay. Thanks for the referral.
You
bye-bye.
Betcha. All right, Anthony, if I'm not going to take you right now just because I'm up against a break, and it wouldn't be fair to you. So 30 seconds from now, I've got to take a break, but you're going to be my first caller. And who else do we have?
John as well.
And we got John. So Anthony and John, you guys were 1 and 2, I promise. Anybody else, lines are open. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. You'll be right after the break. You'll be right after Anthony, right after John, and then we're going to go to you. 602-508-0960. I'm Mark Salem. This is 960 The Patriot, KKNT, every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock right here on Under the Hood.
Mark Salem has a friend at...
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, "This ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk, one size too small."
Well, welcome back, everybody. My name's Mark Salem, and this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, south side of Main Street, just east of Stapley. Main, Stapley, just east, south side of the road. Been in business since 1970. Brian and Thelma run Thompson's Auto Repair. They're AAA approved. They are ASE certified Blue Seal shop, which means he's in the top 10% of all the shops in the United States, because that's all that can get to the Blue Seal side. And we are too, but Thompson's is. But he's named Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, and I'm really proud to have Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, Stapley and Mesa, on our list, and they've been a great member. Anthony, you're up next. Buddy, what can I do for you?
Hello.
Hi.
First of all, I'd like to know that the transmission you guys shop you're talking about in Central Phoenix, okay, they are familiar with Dodge, Ram Charger, 4x4s.
Yep, they are.
And where are they located, approximately?
Or
you can give me the name, I'll look them up.
It's Automatic Transmission Exchange. It's 40th Street and Washington.
40th okay.
Street and Washington. And
okay.
His name is Phil.
Phil.
And you can put a little pressure on him by saying, "Mark sent me." Here's the deal. I don't make a dime on you. I promise you.
Oh, I don't care. I'm the type of guy. I'm free enterprise. I don't care if people make money on me. As long as it doesn't drain my bank account.
No. But it's important for me to tell you that, and I'll tell you why. Because, unfortunately, oftentimes it's not that way. And so and besides that, because I'm on the radio, that's illegal. Like, people can't even buy me a cup of coffee. So that's the reason. But he's a good guy, and he did that transmission on that Dodge, and he did a great job. So if you use him, you'll be treated fairly.
Okay. The problem I have is on a 95 Buick. I'm having trouble with the cluster, the odometer, the road trip one, with originally quit functioning, you know, the one where you push the button and reset it.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a week later, the bottom odometer went out, the total one. Right now, it's not working at all. I did pull it out. It's a completely electronic. It, you know, it just plugs in and pulls out, no problem. Messed around the electrical a little bit, cleaned up the contacts, put it back in. It worked for about 2 miles, and it stopped again.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's a problem within the cluster. I was told that there's like a little wheel that spills in there, spins in there. I don't know if that's it. And I don't even know where the vehicle speed sensor is on this. When I called the Buick dealer, he didn't know, and he didn't take a chat, you know, time to look it up on the computer. But where's the vehicle speed sensor?
It
could be that, too.
It's in the transmission, but does the speedometer work?
It does? No. The first thing, the triple odometer went out, then the total odometer at the bottom went out.
Okay, but that's the odometer. I'm asking about the speedometer.
Oh, the speedometer does work, yes.
Okay, well, then it's not the speed sensor, because the speed sensor is talked to by the speed
that
sensor.
That, too. Okay.
Yeah. So here's what you do. I want you to call Dick Speedo and Tech. I think it's 7th Avenue north of Indian School.
Before you continue, I did. I left 3 messages for him over the past month. He hasn't returned the call, so I don't know if they're in business or they just don't return calls.
All right. I want you to email me your information at mark@marksalem.com.
Okay.
Mark at Mark Salem. I'm going to offer you two things. I'm going to call him and ask him what the hell's going on.
Yeah, and I drive over there. Shop's closed, so I didn't know whether Dick's is closed.
All right. And then number two, I also know another electrical place in town that handles those, and it's where most of us send our dashboards to, and he fixes them.
Is that the one at 16th Street in Indian School? I think it's called OSM or OSS or OS.
I don't know. I don't. I never remember the name. I just have to look up electronic dashboards in my computer, and it pops his name.
Okay, I gotcha.
So, but I'll send you that information. Now, he'll do retail walk-in, so that's who we use, and we're very happy with the service.
Now, do you think that's in the cluster itself?
It is.
Because, I don't know if I located a cluster down in Tucson, but I don't know if it's over mileage or lower mileage, and I don't know if they can reset those to the exact mileage that this one has.
No, and that's exactly what's going to happen. We would never change the mileage on a car, so any vendor that we deal with, we're going to make sure that it comes in and goes out with the right odometer reading. I don't care about the trip, but the right odometer reading.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, this one has under 100,000 miles, about 98, so I don't want to pick up one that's 125 and find out that the odometer cannot be reset accurately.
No. They'll reset the odometer perfectly.
Okay.
Okay? All right.
Now, in that cluster, is it you're sure it's a bad cluster then, period?
Well, the speedometer works, and what you have is you have a disconnect between the speedometer and the odometer.
Yes.
And as you know, it's all a printed circuit. It's all got solder joints. You know, what you could do is put the cluster in the freezer, and I'm serious, put the cluster in the freezer for about 2 or 3 hours, plug it in real quick, set it in your dash, and go drive it. I bet it lasts for a long time.
Oh, is that right?
And then put it out in the sun for a couple hours when it's really hot, and then put it in. You'll find out it's much less. You'll find out it's temperature-related, which means there's a broken solder joint, and I'll tell you what, you can spend the rest of your life looking, because me and my guys have, and we can't find them. But
then I'll be praying for the wintertime here. Okay,
okay.
If I get on your website, I'll check your website, and you'll give the information for Dick Speedo, and I'll give you my email back.
I'll help you.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, thank you. All righty, John, you're up next. John, how are you today?
Fine, Mark. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay.
I, too, have a 2001 Olds Silhouette. It's got 155,000 miles on it. We bought it new off the showroom floor here in town, and it has California emissions. About 2 weeks ago, the check engine light came on, and it gave me a code P0410. So I called the dealership, or one of the dealerships here in town, GM, that handles Oldsmobile products, and he indicated that it was the check air valve and the smog pump, or secondary air pump.
Okay.
Can those, first off, can you clean those? I mean, it's 12 years old or 11 years old. It's got 155,000 miles. He said it could be something as simple as just a piece of carbon being stuck somewhere in there. Can those be taken apart and cleaned, or should I just bite the bullet and buy a new check air valve and a new smog pump?
No, because you've jumped all the way over the diagnostic process. What he's saying to you, let me change what he says to you. He's saying to you, what's going on here is that we're not getting secondary air into the exhaust, or when we ask for secondary air into the exhaust, we don't know if it's being transported. We have a disconnect between what the computer is ordering the soldiers to do, and then the snitch isn't telling us if it's working or not, if they're doing what they're supposed to or not. That's the first thing you need to know. So we're going to go through this process, and as we plug our scanners in that cost thousands of dollars, which is not a code reader, but it's a scanner, we're going to plug it in, and it's going to say, what do you want to do, Mark? And I said, I want you to operate this air valve right here. and I have to know what to look for. Now, I may very well put my hand on a piece of rubber hose, push the button, and all of a sudden I feel air going through the hose. Oh, okay, it's there. Then I look at the sensor, and I say, do you see the air coming through the hose? And the sensor says no. And then it says, I disconnect the sensor, and I say, do you see it now? And it says no. And then I wiggle the connection and put it back on, and all of a sudden, if I pull it to the right, it says yes, and if I push it to the right, it says no, I replace the sensor. That's what has to happen. You're going to go in and do a shotgun repair by replacing all the components, when in reality, that's just a bad deal. You'll spend somewhere between $50 and $150 to have it diagnosed. And then, like he said, it could be a piece of carbon in one of the check valves. It could very well be that the pump sensor isn't reading right. There's lots it could be that's going to be a whole lot cheaper than a shotgun repair. And then, when you do a shotgun repair and it's still there, all that money is wasted. So that's my advice to you, is just give them a chance. If you like their service, give them a chance.
Well, he wasn't very. I had to push him to do any work to help me pull it up, and all he said was the same thing you said: $116 an hour. It's probably going to be 2 to 3 hours, maybe four, because when the computer's going to say we're going to check this, if it's not going to be that, then the computer's going to say,
all right,
go to the next one.
I got to take a break. I'm going to put you on hold because I want to continue the conversation. Okay, so just hold yourself right there, and then Harry, you stay right there. I'll be right back right after this.
Hello.
Good, honest people. They're at 38th in Indian School. They are great people. They're honest. They're dependable. It's 38th Avenue, I should say, too. 38th Avenue in Indian School. But if you don't have a good shop, if you want to measure your shop against a really great shop, then perhaps it's a good idea to go talk to Larry Harker's Auto and talk to Bob and Ellen. All righty. John, I have a couple comments real quick, and then I got to move on to Harry. Number one, it's not fair. I'm being nice. I'm not being mean. It's not fair to expect a service writer to be able to explain a repair over the phone. You have to understand that you're talking to a service writer. The service writer's job is just to communicate. He facilitates communication between the technician and the customer. And he doesn't have a clue. Here, let me tell you what our industry tells you. I don't like bidding diagnostic time in hour blocks because that lets the technician do that. So if it's an hour and 15 minutes, I think it ought to be an hour and 15 minutes. You say to him, does part of the process involve removing these two parts, your diagnostic process? Yes, it does. So if they're bad, there's no labor, right? Because the labor's wrapped up in the diagnostic. So if you're going to remove these two parts, then there's no labor. So if one of them's bad, then I should have the diagnostic and the part, and we're done. That's the kind of conversation that you want to have. You want to say to them, what's the procedure? How's it going to go? He should know that. And then call around to somebody else. I really think that you're going to be in the 75 to 125 range. Somebody's going to be able to figure this out. It's not that hard. So I don't know if they're going to fix it and then call you and hope to heck you buy the repair. And if you don't, then they have to unwind the whole deal. Most people don't do that. Harry, you're up next, buddy. How are you today? What can we do for you? Harry?
About 2000. Chevrolet Trailblazer.
Okay.
And a little bit of air conditioning problem. When you're out on the road and everything, you have it in recirculation deal, and it will just switch to fresh air, and very difficult to get it to come back. And when it does, the only reason it does come back is you have to turn the temperature way down low.
Okay.
Thoughts on that?
It's a common problem, and that aggravates me on my 2005 one ton. And for no reason, that son of a gun goes to outside air, and I don't like that. And just like you, I can turn down the temperature just a little bit. But what it really happens a lot is when we change the inside pressure, I think what happens a lot is that if it senses that a window goes down, like I got the dogs in the back, so sometimes I drop the windows, they can stick their heads out. So as I move that, and when we're recirculating, there's a certain amount of pressure, but when we open up the windows, then they can blow into that pop bottle a lot easier because there's a way out for the air. So it will go back and forth. The only thing that you can do, which I do when my wife's not there, is I just go to 60 degrees. I put it on recirc, and I go to 60 degrees, and I go all the way up, and if I get a little cold, I'll drop a window down just a little bit, or I'll go up in temperature. But I'm not going to sit there and play around and try to figure out if I like 68 or 69 or 70. I'm not doing that. I'm going to 60. Boom. We're done. So that's your only choice. They're getting so sophisticated on some of these electronics on the cars that they're beginning to try to split hairs, and it's just not working out for most people.
Yeah, I know I've had problems with one door. It's been replaced a couple of times. The motor, it starts clicking and clacking, and it's like that's a common problem on the Trailblazers.
We did two yesterday. The blend door, let me tell you something else. You turn off the air conditioning, you turn off the key, you undo the battery cables, you touch the cables together, not the battery, the cables together. You put the positive on first, put the negative on, then make sure all your air conditioning controls are off, turn your key on and walk away. Turn it to the on position, not the start position, the position right before that, walk away. Your computer will then find the parameters for the blend door. It often loses those parameters, and sometimes you don't need to do anything but just tell it where they are, and that's how you do it. Kill the power, bring the power alive, air conditioning off, turn the key on, walk away for 5 minutes, come back, turn the key off. Meanwhile, the door will go right until it hits the stop, and the amperage will go up. Then the door will go left, and it hits the stop, and the amperage will go up, and the computer will do that
1 minute unless you
want
to go
times,
to 45.
And then it goes, okay, I know where I'm at. So those are the things that you can do to make sure that you really do need a blend door. And other than that, the next biggest problem with the blend door is that somebody goes in and finds the door stuck, and instead of replacing the door, they just lube it and put it back in. And, of course, it's already warped, and so it's going to be bad again. So when you go in there, you just replace the motor and the linkage in the door and give the guy something, you know, good to come out with. He has a better chance that way than trying to fix an old piece of warped plastic. Okay?
I appreciate your answer.
You're welcome, Harry. Thank you very much. Andrew, I can't take you right now. You'll be first, Bob. Your number's two, I promise you, when we're on the backside. And then maybe I'll tell you about my new thing where I put a sprinkler system in the horse trailer. And I'll tell you, you learn from your mistakes, and I'll tell you how that worked for me.
D&B Auto.
Most Friday nights, I can be found in the bed of my truck on an old Chase Lounge.
Well, thank you for spending your Saturday with me. We've got the rest of the hour to talk to Andrew, Bob, John, and Tim. But this portion is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. Domestic, diesel, gas, import. If it has a propeller, Kurt tells me, whether it's on the front or the back, he can fix it. He said, you already took, you can fix everything except the crack of dawn and the broken hearts. And he says, I say that if it's got a prop on the front or a prop on the back, I can fix those too. Kurtz Automotive is up at I-17 and Bell Road. They opened in 1992, and they've been a member of our list for a very long time. So if you're located anywhere near I-17 and Bell and you don't have a good shop, then please try Kurtz. He's a good guy. All right, let's go to the phone. Andrew, you're up next. Thank you for holding as long as you did. How can I help you?
Hi, I've got a 2010 Honda Insight, and I always get the oil changed at the dealer. And last month I was driving up in Flagstaff, and I lost the drain plug. And I got the warning light that said my oil level was low, and fortunately I had just exited the freeway, and there was a Jiffy Lube right there, and I just pulled in, and I asked them to top me off, and they said, your drain plug's missing. And sure enough, I looked at the back of the car. There's oil all over the back of it. They had one in stock. They replaced it. They refilled the oil. And I haven't had any problems since. I called the dealer and told them about it, and they said, next time you come in for an oil change, you know, come talk to us. And so I was going to go down there and talk to the service manager today. But I wanted to know from you, what should I expect of them, and what should I ask them to do, and how do I know if there are any problems or not that I just haven't seen yet?
That's the question. That's the question. The question is who can answer the question, did I sustain any damage that's going to cause me a problem in the near future? And I have a really good answer for you. It's going to cost you a dollar.
Okay.
Okay. When you go to the dealer, I want you to be nice. and I want you to say, I have a plan. I would like very much to have you change my oil, and then I want to wait 1,000 miles, and I want to come in, and I want you to pull an oil sample and send it for analysis. And then at 2,000, I want to do that again. And then at 3,000, I want to do that again at your expense. Because if I sustained any damage from any moving parts that are steel, aluminum, stainless steel, brass, and all the different irons inside your engine, then we will see a growth of that in the oil analysis. And those oil analysis will cost them $30 or $40 a piece. They should be willing to do three. This is a common problem. I've paid for those myself. If they're really good guys and really sorry, they're probably going to comp those two oil, that next oil change and the three tests at $1,000, $2,000, and $3,000. Or they might just say to you, hey, there's no evidence that we did that there's any damage, so you just keep driving it and we'll take care of it.
So, yeah, that's not going to fly.
I've seen independent shops say the same thing. It's just they don't understand that the customer needs to be put in a place. But here's the deal. If I run those tests, Andrew, and we don't have any growth of metal in 1,000, 2,000, and 3,000, you can never blame me for that oil change problem again. So that's a double-edged sword. It's either going to bite you or it's going to save you. But here's the best part. It's the truth. So.
Okay.
All righty.
So if there are no, I mean, if the samples all come back clean, then I'm fine. I don't have to worry about it?
Absolutely. Because if you scuff some metal, let's say a rod bearing took a beating because of the absence of oil, it will continue to shed metal. So the stainless steel and the aluminum and the bushing will grow. So at 1,000, let's just use stupid numbers. At 1,000, it'll say 5. At 2,000, okay. It'll say 50. And at 3,000, it'll say 250. It's not supposed to do that. So, and here's the best part. The oil analysis, they need to know what kind of oil it is, how long it's gone, and what kind of car it is. And they'll fill all that information out. We all know how to do this. And they'll say, this is normal. And so they have a normal range, and then they have an abnormal range. So you'll be able to see the whole thing right in front of you.
Okay.
So just tell them to share them with you and tell them, you know, I understand everybody makes mistakes. This was a bad one, and it's a good thing I say, because I could have just driven this thing and just toasted that motor into a big old wad of metal and blah, blah, blah. So I think that they're going to treat you fairly.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Okay, Andrew, thank you very much. Bob, you're up next. Bob, how can I help you?
Mark, in June, I took my wife's 09 Chevy Equinox to quality transmission to have a transmission fluid change.
Okay.
It wasn't having any problems. It was just a regular because it had 60,000. And so they changed the fluid and they took my 10% discount coupon that I got off their website and everything was great. But then they said they can change the filter, but it's like 2 or 3 hours work because it's a Toyota transmission,
uh-huh.
Which I guess is neither here nor there. That's the way it is. But they have to drop like the front transaxle and disconnect the transmission and all this stuff, and it's like 3 hours work or something.
Okay.
So you think I should just keep having fluid changes?
How many
like
miles are on
a
it?
Year?
How many miles are on it?
60,000 when I had it serviced. It's got about 70 now.
Was it the first service at 60?
Yes, sir.
And what does the owner's manual call for? I bet it calls for 100.
They say it's non-serviceable or
okay.
Whatever.
All
just
right.
Drive it till it dies.
Okay. All right. Then I know exactly where we're at. And I agree with them. Here's what they didn't say to you. They said everybody is the marketing people. The marketing people for all the major car guys, Honda, Toyota, Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, blah, 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 blah. They've all gotten a hold of the engineers, and they're making the engineers say, oh, this has spark plugs that'll go 100, the coolant will go 100, the training coolant will go 100, the brakes will go 100, the belts will go 100. It's marketing. It's not true, but it's marketing. So if you buy our car doesn't need maintenance for $100,000. Well, what quality should have said to you was, it's a good idea to change that fluid. I would have done it at 50 and then do it again at 100. I would not do the filter because you don't have any symptoms. Because when the filter gets plugged up, it'll slow the fluid pressure in the transmission. It will restrict and slow, and the most toxic symptom of that is the transmission begins to slip. Usually the filter is now filled up with metal or clutch material or something, and the filter is restricting the fluid, and you have a slip. No slip, no burnt fluid when they drained it. It all looked good, and all they did is do a drain and refill. That's all you need.
So how often should I do it? Just
If it were my car, I'd do it every 50,000 miles, because I don't think they can say everybody in the United States can go 100,000 miles, because let's look at the extremes. You got Mark Salem over here, who's a big jerk. He's going to drive that thing, and he's going to drive that horse until it's lathered up and it's on its last legs every day of its life. Then you got Mark's mother, who does 4,000 miles a year. So you're telling me this fluid's going to handle both of these idiots? No. The big idiot and his mother at the same time? No, that's not true. So it's a good idea to shorten up those things. We don't want you to put leave your spark plugs in for 100,000 miles, because we have to jackhammer them out. And the people in Detroit are worse. The people in Michigan are worse. So why don't you let us take them out at 880 so that we don't have to jackhammer them out, because it's going to be cheaper. Besides that, the ones that we pull out at 80, they look bad. And so you're going to pay for fuel economy, so let's just do it a little early. The power steering fluid, supposed to be done at 60. You know, what does it look like at 60? It looks really good. What did it look like at 40? It looked good. What, at 30? It looked good. Okay, fine, I'm going to go to 60. Hey, Mark, what happens if I let the power steering goes to 60? Nothing. What's the symptoms of a power steering fluid that's dirty? Whining. Okay, thank you, Mark. That's what happens. So, if I were you, I hope you're okay with that, but I would not spend the money to pull the filter, especially in light of the fact that I bet your owner's manual says don't even service it, at least for the first 100. So,
yeah.
Okay?
Right. Great.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob. John, you're up next, buddy. John?
John, I'm calling back because I wasn't able to ask a question before we disconnected.
Okay.
I'm the guy with the Silhouette.
Okay.
Are you open for new customers, or should I take this out here to Early's or to PRK, which is closer to me?
Well, I don't know Early's and PRK, but I want to tell you something. That's good. That's good. I can't tell you how many shops I hear about on a regular basis because of complaints. People want me to hop on my white horse and go slay the dragon, but I don't do that. So I don't know anything about Early's. What part of town do you live in?
Well, Early's is on your Blue Seal shops, and so is PRK. I'm out here on Power and Guadalupe.
Okay, all right. So if they're both ASE Blue Seal shops, then they are a top quality shop. You could ask either one of them, and just say to them, is this something that you're good at? Have you done this before? Do you have a General Motors scanner? Yes, we do. Are your guys ASE certified in emissions and drivability on GM cars? Yes, we are. Bingo. You're home free.
Okay, now what about you? Are you taking new customers? Because I don't have a problem driving to your shop.
No, I don't think that's a good idea. I think you should develop a relationship. My mom lives out at Power. Well, my mom's passed away, but my mom lived at Power and just north of the 60, and I had her go to a shop out there. Now, she'd come to me for tires because she wanted to take me for lunch, but oil changes were done out there because I said, Mom, you're going to drive a long way for nothing. There's good shops out there. So thank you that you honor me when you say that, but I really want to do what's in your best interest, and I would much rather you develop a relationship with those guys rather than drive 20 miles.
Okay, and the second question I had is I had the air conditioning pump went out on the Silhouette a few years ago, and they put in the Denso. And it's been working fine. Over the past 48 hours, it's developed a squeal when you accelerate. And I think it's a serpentine belt. Could that be the compressor going out, or would it be a belt tensioner?
Belt tensioner, either a glazed belt or a belt tensioner. You get yourself some Windex or some water in a spray bottle, and get it to where it happens. Pull off to the side of the road, pop the hood, spray one belt. You just have one serpentine? Is that all you got?
I think so, yeah. Okay. I had someone else do it because I don't claim to be a mechanic.
Okay, so you just spray one of the belts with water, and then you get in and see if it'll squeal. And if it doesn't, then as soon as that water gets flipped off, then the squeal will come back. The compressor goes into idle mode, and so if you shut the air off and the squeal is there, it has nothing to do with your air conditioning.
Okay.
Okay? All right, good luck to you. Thank you, John. And Tim, you're up next. Tim, how can I help you?
I've got a van, and I want to put a safety device in the car. I want to get one of those high and low sirens with a switch on the dash in case I have a problem with anybody coming around on the outside, and I want to throw this switch and make this siren go off and stay on. You know, I want it to actuate and for the siren to stay on until I flip it off. Have you got somebody that can do that electrical work?
It's not the electrical work. I think that's illegal.
Well, it may be, but I need a safety item.
Okay, well, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
I'd go buy a nice little air horn assembly and if somebody passes you on the left, you're worried about them passing you on the left or the right? Which one?
Well, I'm not worried about the passing. I'm just wondering, you know, a parking lot or something, somebody came up, you know, and there started some problems there or, you know.
Okay. 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 Actually, we could actually wire it into your remote. Do you have a remote to open and close the doors on your car?
I do.
Well, if you hold that remote button down, or there's an emergency button that's red in color, that'll start honking your horn and flashing your lights.
I see.
And so you could use that. Now, we could also turn that into, let's put a little air tank, a little compressor there. You're going to spend $200 easy, but we could put an air horn in there, and so your horn would go beep, beep, beep. And the air horn would really be loud.
Yeah, I like something loud.
but I think you're going to get in trouble with the siren. Especially,
I wouldn't leave it on in traffic, you know.
I understand, but I think why don't we use the stuff that's already there? Any garage can. First of all, I want you to hold the button down and see how loud your horn is. You could add more horns. Uh-huh. You could also put air horns into that circuit to where those detectors go bonk. Bonk.
That's what I need, yeah.
Okay, so just call your local shop and say, will you install a set of air horns in parallel with my horns now?
Uh-huh.
That way when I hit the horn here, I get air horns and, you know, the Buick station wagon horn, whatever you want.
Oh, that's good.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You betcha, you betcha. All righty. Well, I want to tell you about one more good shop, Phoenix Body Works. Phoenix Body Works is a great place. They're very honest. They're very dependable. Greg May is the owner. He works well with insurance companies, and that's important. You don't want somebody fighting with your insurance company. You want somebody who works with them. Greg's a great place for my best car repair shops. He's located at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road, Monday through Friday. And they are a good body shop. They are one of the best. That's why they're on our list. Speaking of our list, let me tell you something that I'm going to leave you with this. To be on our list costs $750 a year. Most referral lists charge $300 a month. I'm giving you a $5,000 guarantee. Do that math, okay? If I have to kick a shop off and pay $5,000, that's 7 years of his dues, okay? The reason why it makes sense is because these guys are the best. They're the best. See you next Saturday here at 10 o'clock right here on 960 The Patriot, KKNT. My name's Mark Salem. Drive safe. Wear your seatbelt.